First Samuel 20, the 18th verse, just of the chapter. It says, "Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." The words at the end of the verse, it's the latter part, the second half of the verse especially, we want to think about. Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Every year, it's a part of the church year, the church calendar. We give out prizes to the children. And especially we give them prizes for their attendance. Prizes for attendance at Sunday school and the children's meetings and so on. What happens is that a good attendance generally gets a good prize. The more you attend, the better prize you will receive. But I want you to think, brethren and sisters, for a moment or two, what of the adults? What is your attendance like at God's house when the meetings and the activities are taking place? A lot of meetings have been announced, not just for this week, but in the will of God for the weeks to come. What will your attendance, your support of all of those meetings and activities be like? You think of it in this manner. If prizes were given to the grown-ups, how well would you do? Would you be called up at the end of the year to receive a prize for good attendance? If prizes were given out, how many in this church, how many in the congregation assembled this morning would get a prize for their attendance at the house of God? I'd like you to ask yourself the question, are you a good attender? Good attender at the meetings? Many are, and we want to acknowledge that, and we're thankful for the faithful attendance. But perhaps there's some here today, and you would have to admit that you're not a good attender. Maybe your children attend the meetings better and more faithfully than you do. It's a matter, brethren and sisters, that ought to cause us grave concern. It ought to cause all Christians, the Church of Christ in general, grave concern. Because remember, church attendances are not what they were in the land as a whole. Church attendances are declining in this nation of ours. That's something that should grieve us. That's something we ought to lament over. Church attendance is not what it once was, even in this little province of Ulster. We lived in the mainland for many years, very much the day of small things. Often they gave out the figure of between 2 and 3% of the population of the mainland that would attend any place of worship. And if that's accurate, men and women, that is a cause for great concern. And if we're not careful in this land of ours, in this province, in 20 years' time, Ulster will just be the same. I want to stress to you this morning, we need to be careful about our attendance at the house of God. Careful about our attendance at the meetings, whenever they're held. I have a book at home. It's the life of Charles Alexander. I mentioned Charles Alexander on Thursday night a little. I told you I'd been reading the life of J. Wilbur Chapman. Alexander was the song leader. Chapman was the evangelist, the preacher. Before Alexander was linked up with Chapman, he toured the world with the world famous evangelist R.A. Torrey. They came to Belfast. They said that the meetings in Belfast were tremendous. It was one of the cities that they most regretted leaving, for two reasons. One, for the welcome of the people, and the other, for the blessing of God that came down upon those services. One of the problems they had when Torrey and Alexander came to Belfast was finding a building big enough to hold the crowds that were coming. Remember, there was no King's Hall in Belfast in those days. And where they held the meetings was in St. George's Market. It wasn't maybe ideal from an acoustic point of view. It was difficult for the voices and the sounds to be carried. But in those days it seated maybe 7,500 people. There's a picture in that book, and there's many pictures, many interesting pictures, but there's one picture of one of those meetings in Belfast. And the clock is visibly seen in the picture, and it was 6:30. And the meeting wasn't to begin until 7:45. And at 6:30 there were 7,500 people in St. George's Market. 1:15 before the meeting began, and there wasn't a seat to be had. Very good attendance at the meetings. And isn't it sad, men and women? You think of it. What is it that attracts the great crowds in our land today? What is it that attracts the great crowds in the city of Belfast today? Is it not things like pop events and sport events and so on? We think of buildings like the Waterfront and the Odyssey and so on. And those things generally, occasionally, they're used for gospel meetings. But on the whole, men and women, it's the worldly events and the worldly gatherings that have the greatest attendances in the day in which we live. And as Christians, we need to think about that, men and women. And I want to suggest to you this morning, even more, we ought to pray about that. Make that a matter of earnest prayer. The text says, "Thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty." An empty seat. And I want you to remember that this empty seat was not just an empty seat in any house. It was an empty seat in the king's house. Saul was king, and David should have been present. David should have been at the king's table. David should have been gathered along with the king when he sat down for meat. And I want you to remember, brethren and sisters, that this is the king's house where we are assembled this morning. This is the house of the great king. And tell me, the question is, how often is your seat empty? How often do you miss the meetings? How often, men and women, are you not present in the king's house? How often? Can I assure you, when you're not here, that you are missed? Your presence, your support of the work of God, we miss you when you're not gathered with us. I want to emphasize that to you. But think of the question, how often is your seat empty? How often is your seat empty at the Sunday services? Do you come to both meetings? Maybe you're just what could be described as a oncer, SMO, Sunday morning only. Will you be here tonight? Will your seat be vacant in God's house this evening? I want to encourage you to come to that special family service. Think of the Lord's table. We're to gather around it in a few minutes' time. Remember that David was to sit with the king at meat. That's what we're told right at the very beginning of the chapter. David was absent from the king's table. This is the king's table, men and women. How often do you miss it? When last did you sit at the king's table, at the Lord's table? The words along the front of the table say this too, in remembrance of me. Does your absence from the table suggest that you've forgotten the Lord? You've forgotten his death. You don't ponder and think of those things as you ought to. Think as well of the prayer meeting. How often is your seat empty, vacant in the prayer meeting? Was your seat empty this week? Seat empty this morning? You weren't present when the church gathered or assembled to pray? Will your seat be empty tonight in the prayer meeting? Thursday evening? It's sad, brethren and sisters. Sad how often and how many empty seats there are in the prayer meetings of the church. Often, and it's a cause for great wonder, it is the smallest meeting of the church. And some of you here today, you've never been in the prayer meeting. You've never been seen, never been in attendance at any prayer meeting of the church. That, men and women, is a cause for concern, and it ought to concern you as well. Let me ask you, why do you not come? What is the reason, men and women? That's a good question to consider today, because remember, one day you'll have to tell the Lord the reason why you didn't attend the meetings better. So it's good to give consideration to it this morning. Why is it that your seat is empty? Do you remember in the scriptures it says they all began with one accord to make excuse? That'd be your response this morning, full of excuses. If you do want to come, you'll certainly find plenty of excuses to make. There's no shortage that can be offered. Now, I know there are times and occasions that you genuinely can't be out. Mothers with young children can't always make it to the meetings. Or if a family member, an elderly relative, is unwell, they need care, they need support and help. Times emergencies arise unexpectedly in the home, the farm, the business. And that's not the sort of thing we're thinking of, men and women. Those things are necessary. Those things are understandable. What we're talking about today, what we're stressing, is the careless disregard for God's house. The persistent non-attendance for absolutely no reason at all. Why do you not come? Face the question this morning. Do you not come? Is it because of habit? Is that the reason your seat is empty? You're not more often found among God's people? You've just got into that routine. You never thought of doing anything else. That's the way your life has been, has always been. Just a habit. You just come to one meeting and never think of coming to any others. Can I say to you this morning, it's a bad habit. And it's certainly not supported and taught in the Word of God, men and women. Maybe the reason you don't come is the TV. Is that how you spend prayer meeting night or the Sabbath evening? Has it such a grip upon you and upon your heart and upon your life? Is it more important to you than the Lord? Do you love the things that are on the box more than you love the things that are in the book? The television? It was Charles Swindoll. Maybe some night I'll speak on the television. Charles Swindoll described it as the plug-in drug. And that's a very good title, men and women. It is like a drug. It has that hold often upon our hearts and upon our lives. Think of friends as well. Is that the reason you don't come? Friends visiting? Or you go visiting them, or they come visiting you? Is that what keeps you away? Can I say to you, men and women, why not bring the friends with you? If they call at your home unexpectedly, why not treat that as providential from the Lord and invite them out to the meeting? Wouldn't it be a good opportunity to bring them with you under the sound of the gospel? You know, way back in the late 50s, President Eisenhower was then President of the United States. There was a visit been made to America by the Russian leader Khrushchev at that time. And on the Sunday morning, President Eisenhower was in the habit of going to the Gettysburg Presbyterian Church. And he invited the Russian leader to come. Imagine that. The importance of the visit for political reasons. But the president said to Khrushchev, I'd like you to come out to the meeting. I'd like you to come to church with me this Sunday morning. Khrushchev declined. He refused the invitation. But President Eisenhower didn't stay at home. He and his wife and his family went along to the meeting, just as usual. And that's a good example, men and women. You invite your friends to come. You encourage them to the house of God. But if they don't come, don't let them become a stumbling block or a hindrance to you. You be resolved that you'll go to the meeting without them. You'll go to the house of God anyway.
Why do you not come, men and women? You need to think of that. What are you doing that keeps you from coming to the meetings? What are you doing on the Sabbath if you're not at the meetings? It's not a serious question. What are you doing with the Sabbath day if you're not found in God's house? What are you doing with the Lord's day? What sort of places do you go to? What sort of practices are you involved in? Are you spending the day aright? Are you spending God's day in a way that is pleasing in His sight? Maybe you're guilty of worldliness. Worldliness, remember, is taken up too much with the things of this world. Is that why you can't come? Isn't it sad, men and women, the difference there is in the Lord's day today? Maybe in what it was when many of us here were younger, were children. I can remember, brought up on the farm, my father never would have started the tractor on very rare occasions on the Sabbath day. When we were children, a cow calved one Sunday afternoon, way down at the bottom of the farthest away field. And the calf had to be brought in, and it was too far to carry it. And I remember my father starting the tractor and putting on the link box to go down and bring this calf in. And for us as children, it was such a rare thing that we thought it was serious. Imagine that. It was such a rare thing to see a tractor started on the Sabbath day. And you think of the changes there is today, men and women. Worldliness taken up far too much with the things of this world. Remember, if you're too busy for God and you're too busy for His house, you are too busy. Your life's not right, men and women. Your walk with God is not. Whatever you want to say and whatever you want to claim, if you're too busy for God's house and too busy for the meetings, your life's not right with God. You're like Martha. You're cumbered with much serving. Too busy with all the serving to spend the time at the Lord's feet that is so important to your spiritual well-being. And you need to sort those things out, men and women. You need to get your priorities right. You need to seek first the kingdom of God. And think of the example that you're setting. Never underestimate the power of your example, either for good or for evil. Think of the example that you're setting. Maybe to others in your family. You wonder why others in your family don't come more to church. Maybe is it that they're following the example that you have set them, following in your footsteps. You wonder maybe why others in the church don't come more to the meetings. Think of the example that you're setting to others in this fellowship. Maybe new converts, those not long converted. Does it not concern you, men and women? Because it certainly concerns me. The bad influence that some Christians have, their life, their example. The bad influence that some Christians have on others in the church. And especially those that are babes in Christ. You ask yourself, you think of this. If they don't attend the meetings well, is it your fault? Are you the one that's to blame? Is it your example, your life, that they're seeking to imitate? They look at your life and say, there's so-and-so. They're fairly prominent in that church. But they don't go on Sunday night, so I don't need to go. They don't go to the prayer meetings before the services. Well, if they don't need to go, then I don't need to go. Is that how it is, men and women? If others aren't attending the meetings well, is it your life that they're looking at? Is it your example that they're following? It's a serious matter, men and women. And I want to urge you to consider it carefully. Paul said to young Timothy, be an example of the believers.
Are you an example? An example to other Christians in the church? Are you an example in church attendance? Christians are to be faithful. Faithful in their example, be thou faithful unto death. In other words, right to the end of your life. Not just when you get saved, not just for a few years after salvation, but right to the end, to the journey's end. The Lord spoke those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Will you hear those words from the lips of the Saviour when you stand before him? We need to be faithful. Need to be faithful in doctrine. Need to be faithful in preaching. The preaching of the gospel. But remember, we need to be faithful in practical things as well. Practical areas. Faithful in attendance, men and women. Is that true of you? Can you be depended upon to be there whenever a meeting has been held? Remember the man I mentioned to you maybe some months ago? Known as ever faithful, ever sure. Never missed. Are you like that? That the sort of life that you live, my friend? Can I make it clear today, if at all possible, you should be at the meetings. And you ought to be there, my friend, not to please the deacons and the elders. That will encourage the office bearers of the church to see you there. You ought to be there not because it's the fashion. In Victorian England, it was the fashion to go along to meetings. Those are not the things that should be your motives. You ought to be there because it's the will of God for your life. Because it will please Him. It will bring God's blessing upon your life and upon your family. The book of Hebrews states clearly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Note those words. There's a certain class, a certain group of people, maybe more so, it's increasing in society in the day in which we live. The manner of some is. They have forsaken the assembling of themselves. They no longer come to the meetings. And the Bible's warning you, lest you get caught up in all of that as well. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Are you obeying that command? If that is the case, my friend, the Lord will bless you for it. But if you're disobeying that command, I want you to know today that you're out of the will of God. That is the clear, stated, revealed will of God for the lives of His people. And remember, you should come to the meetings for your own good, your own spiritual advancement. You think of your children at school. If your child was a poor attender at school, what would happen, men and women? They wouldn't do well. They would get behind. They wouldn't increase in knowledge. And remember, it's just the same for Christians. If you don't come to the meetings, if you don't attend the means of grace, that's what these meetings are referred to as. The preaching, the Lord's table. All of these things are the means of grace. They're the means whereby the grace of God is increased and developed in your life. And if you don't attend these things, you'll not advance as you should as a Christian. You'll not go on with God in the Christian life. It's just as simple as that, men and women. Can I say to you in conclusion this morning, do you remember Thomas? His seat was empty. He wasn't there on that glorious resurrection day. He missed the special visitation of the Lord, the special visitation of the resurrected Saviour. And I wonder, my friend, I wonder, will the same happen to you? Would you not be concerned about that? That at one of our meetings, the Lord might come in a special way. At one of our meetings, we might receive a very special visitation from on high. The Lord would come, and you would miss it. The Lord would come in great power, and you wouldn't be there, because you were too careless to be out at the meetings. There's a lovely story about Jonathan Edwards. Remember, Edwards experienced revival maybe twice in his church in Northampton in the United States. One night he came home at tea time. He had been very busy through the day. He was tired. He was weary. He was worn out. His family was concerned for him. The demands of the ministry, the busyness of those times, they were concerned his health was going to break down. There was to be a meeting that night, and they urged him to stay at home from the meeting and rest. And he said to his family tenderly, I must go to the meetings tonight, because the Lord might come tonight, and I would want to be there when the Lord would come. Would that not be your desire, men and women? You haven't maybe the same limitations on you that Edwards had at that time. There's not the same concern about your weariness and your health and so on. Would you not want to be there, lest the Lord would come down in great blessing, in revival blessing? Thy seat will be empty. Will the Lord burn those words into your heart today, men and women? May God challenge us all about our attendance at the house of God. And I'll just say this as a finish. Some of you here today are out of Christ. You know, the most solemn and serious thought, men and women, is that your seat will be empty in heaven. The family gathered. You think of the first family you read of in the Bible, Adam's family. There's an empty seat in Adam's family because Cain is not in heaven. The Bible says that he went out to the blackness of darkness forever. An empty seat for the family in heaven. Will that be true of you? Some families in this meeting, the family circle will not be united. Some here will be absent. If you're still out of Christ, I pray the Lord might speak to you. The Lord might write that upon your heart, and may it be the means today of bringing you to the Saviour.